Hey, Matt Rothschild here, host of the Wisconsin Forward podcast all across the Civic Media Radio Network and at civicmedia.us. For the next several episodes of the Wisconsin Forward podcast, I'm going to be interviewing Democratic candidates for governor. With me now is Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley. Welcome to the Wisconsin Forward podcast.
Well, thank you for having me. Such a pleasure to be on with you.
Well, it's great to see you and to hear from you. It's been a long time since I've been able to have that opportunity. I've been interviewing all the candidates, as I mentioned to you before we went on the air, and I start every interview the same way, which is the obvious way. Why do you want to be governor?
Great question. First, I think it's important to acknowledge that Governor Tony Evers has been the quiet, calm strength that we have needed here in the state of Wisconsin. When I think about getting us through the pandemic, you know, being on the front lines, helping to protect democracy, but also helping to take the most vulnerable citizens here in the state of Wisconsin from a lot of harm, particularly from the Republican-controlled legislature. And
that must have been so hard, dealing with those folks.
I mean, as a person who served in the state legislature, it's very hard, you know, trying to work with a particular party who just wants to obstruct and stop everything that you want to put in place. And so, you know, I'm a husband, I'm a father, I'm the county executive, and a lifelong Wisconsinite. And honestly, I'm running for governor because I believe in this state. I believe that there's so much that we can do by coming to the table together. But I also have a track record of being able to deliver results. And right now, you know, we are in an affordability crisis.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, rents is going up. Housing prices are going up. Groceries are going up. Utilities are going up. And so we all recognize that a lot of the things that are happening right now in everybody's world is because of the bad policies that are coming out of Washington, D.C. And it's unfortunate that we have, you know, Republicans who are willing to carry his water, Trump's water, versus carrying the concerns of, you know, those that they are elected to represent. But I truly believe that doesn't mean that we can't rise and do things for Wisconsinites. And as a person who has struggled, you know, I was evicted, you know, three times before I graduated high school. I know that pain. And so I want to make sure that no child has to go through that again. And so I'm running for governor to make sure that when the tide rises, all the boats rise. And so we can have health care that's affordable and accessible. We can build, you know, the child care centers that are accessible in rural communities, but also affordable so people don't have to go into debt just to send their child to daycare or early childhood center. You know, I think that we need to be building family-sustaining union jobs in every corner of the state of Wisconsin while also making sure that we fully fund our public school system so our young people are not just ready for the jobs of today, but ready for opportunities for tomorrow. And when I look at how there are many politicians who like to focus on distractions, divisions, and culture wars, in Milwaukee County, I have been able to deliver results that improve the lives of everyone. I represent 19 different cities and villages in Milwaukee County. Close to 1 million people live in Milwaukee County, which is a sixth of our entire state's population. And we've built affordable housing for our seniors, for working families, people with disabilities. We've reduced our overdose deaths by 30% in just 1 year, working with our partners on the ground. We've reduced our carbon emissions in half. We've made government more accessible, all while delivering the largest property tax cut in our county's history. And these aren't Democratic or Republican issues. These are issues that every Wisconsinite, no matter what letter is behind your name, or if you don't care about politics, these affect your everyday lives. And I think we have a great opportunity to galvanize the base, bring those lost voices, young voices, independents back into the fold, build the type of Democratic Party that we need to make sure that when the tide rises, all the boats rise.
You said you love Wisconsin. Where does that love of Wisconsin come from?
You know, I was born and raised here, and, you know, my father, you know, passed down many traditions that he got from his grandfather. And so, you know, my dad took me all across the state to go fishing, going to Beaver Dam, or when we go duck hunting, going to Lake Winneconne. And, you know, I had a teacher, my first grade teacher, who took me to my first farm, who family had a dairy farm. And so, you know, we have a very unique personality here in Wisconsin. And I know we always talk about Midwest nights, but Wisconsin nights is much better. That's for sure.
And it's a real thing.
It is a real thing. I think our workforce is also second to none.
You mentioned the affordability crisis. Mm-hmm. What can you do as governor to solve that for people? I mean, you've got health care, you've got groceries, you've got, you know, housing, either mortgage or rent is just astronomical. You got out of state hedge funds buying up housing in Milwaukee and all other places in Wisconsin. So it's just so hard for people to pay for a decent place to live.
You know, when I take an account of what we have done in Milwaukee County, what's very unique about the projects, the seven projects that we have that are either underway or currently constructed, they all happen in suburban communities. Communities that, you know, before this administration, my administration said, not in my backyard. But I remember a quote. It's one of my favorite quotes, Teddy Roosevelt. No one cares what you know until they know how much you care. And so we went into those specific communities and was able to work with them on building affordable housing units that work for them. But we had to identify the developers. We had to identify, you know, what needed to come from the county, what needed to come from the feds, what we could use from our American Rescue Plan Act dollars and other lenders. And so we realized that we have to make sure that we right-size each solution to fit each community, right? Because there isn't a one-size-fits-all solution, particularly when it comes down to housing. Because what works in Milwaukee may not work in Marinette, may not work in Barron, may not work in Eau Claire or La Crosse. And so we have to make sure that we bring those trusted experts, those who are directly impacted, to be a part of the table in order to bring the solutions that we need to see.
You've also mentioned union jobs. Mm-hmm. We need higher wages in the state.
Yes.
Are you for repealing Act 10, and what would you set the minimum wage at?
Well, we absolutely need to raise the minimum wage. I was visiting one of my wife's friends in Arizona, born and raised in the Wisconsin area, and I asked her why she hasn't moved back, because she was complaining about there being a shortage of jobs there. They have more people in the Phoenix area than they have jobs. And I said, well, why don't you just come on back? And she said, well, your minimum wage is too low. And so when you think about other Republican states across the country who have a higher minimum wage than we do in Wisconsin, we absolutely need to change that. And as a, you know, I am union made. So my father is a retired electrician. And, you know, I always joke that you get somebody as neutral as my father and hot as my mom, you put those things together, this is the spark that you get. And so we need to make sure that there is collective bargaining here in the state of Wisconsin. And so I believe that Act 10 should be repealed, and that we need to make sure that all of the wages that people are paying, are living wages. No one who is working a full-time job should have to rely on government assistance to help them out in order to survive in our state.
I mean, $7.25 an hour, it's just a joke.
Oh, it absolutely is a joke. My first job was in 2001, and I was going into my freshman year of high school, and at the age of 14, I made $7 an hour. And you take into account what the minimum wage was then, it was about $5.25. And so in the past 20 years, you know, more than 20 years, our minimum wage, the federal minimum wage, is only raised by $2. And it's not just taking a look at the minimum wage, but how do we look at our federal poverty level as well that hasn't really changed, to make sure that the benefit cliffs that people have been facing aren't there? Because we know right now, with the rate of inflation, what we're seeing with these terrible policies happening at the federal level, that the costs that are increasing at an alarming rate right now that people just can't keep up.
Another issue you talk about on your website is modernizing criminal justice policy.
Yeah.
And I know you worked on that at the state legislature.
Yes.
And I admired you for doing that. What are some of the proposals to do that?
Well, there's a lot that we can do. You know, as the county executive in Milwaukee, we're the only county that is responsible not just for a jail, with our sheriffs being responsible for the jail, but we also have a House of Corrections, which we renamed the Community Reintegration Center. And our prison system is supposedly to be there to help people reintegrate back into society. And so there are a lot of individuals who are there on low-level crimes that we need to be taking a look at to see if they can return home in order just to save more dollars. But how do we also make sure that we're providing them with the skill sets to make sure that once they do return home, they have the opportunity to live in a decent home, that they can have access to some type of healthcare and insurance, making sure they have access to employment opportunities. So how do we help to upskill them throughout their time in our care, and making sure that we protect them in their future? And so when it comes down to a criminal justice reform, there's so much that we need to do, first and foremost, starting with the decriminalization of marijuana. How many individuals who are currently serving prison time because of low-level drug offenses, quite frankly, is mind-boggling to me. And, you know, I remember in the state legislature when you had folks like Grover Norquist who were coming to the state legislature here in the state of Wisconsin promoting us to actually focus on criminal justice reform because there are Republican states who are doing much better than we are right here.
Yeah, when he's the good guy, you know, we're doing well. We're falling behind there.
You know, it's not too often where I'm saying I'm with Grover, right?
You mentioned that you've been able to cut carbon emissions by almost 50%. I think the figure I saw was 48% in Milwaukee County. Can you replicate that as governor?
We absolutely need to replicate that, and I think that we can replicate that. And as we look at, you know, as we rebuild infrastructure, renovate infrastructure, build new infrastructure, there's so much that we can put in place as it relates to reducing our carbon emissions. What more can we do with wind and solar to help provide the necessary energy that we need? But it's also about putting a stake in the ground. And as we continue to have conversations about, you know, different industries that are moving into the Wisconsin area, we have to make sure that we protect our environment. Lake Michigan, the Great Lakes, is the greatest asset that we have here in the state of Wisconsin. And we need that asset. But it's important that we protect that asset for future generations. And so when I look at all of the different types of projects that we can implement, it's really about how do we make sure that we can reduce our carbon emissions. And that needs to be a part of the planning process from the very beginning.
You know, as governor, you got to get a budget passed. I know you did budgets at the county. You got to do budget, balance budgets at the county. There was a controversy this time around. A lot of folks who were advocates of public school funding didn't think the budget went far enough and were advocating it just a total veto. I'm wondering what your view is of that possibility if Republicans still hold the majority in both houses here at the state capitol, which they may or may not.
I mean, let's just be honest. The Republicans have been the ones who have been defunding our K-12 education system. And it's the reason why so many school districts across the entire state almost every year has had to go to referendum to make sure that their teachers, their children have accesses to the resources and skill sets that they need in order for them to thrive. And let's just call it what it is. The state of Wisconsin broke its promise. There was a moment, I think it was late 90s, early 2000s, where the state was going to fund all of our public school systems to the tune of 2/3.
Right.
Well, what happened to that? Right. And not just with our public education system, but now being this county executive and how that affects shared revenue and us being able to have enough, you know, public safety or be able to invest in housing and transportation, garbage pickup and the things that local elected officials deal with on an everyday basis that affect the lives of everyday citizens. And so we absolutely need to get back to a point where we can fully fund our public education system. And I'm a product of public schools, Milwaukee Public Schools. All three of my daughters attend public schools, and I want to make sure that every child who is attending a public school is afforded the same opportunities that were given to folks like yourself and me.
Where are you on vouchers? A lot of critics who are proponents of the public education system say the voucher system has just drained money from public education.
You know, and I know that there's a lot of people who say we need to get rid of, you know, the voucher system. And I think that until we can fully fund our public school systems, it's a hard conversation for us to have because our public school systems currently do not have the capacity to bring on any family that is utilizing the voucher system. And so I truly believe that any school who is receiving dollars, public dollars, for any child needs to be transparent. They need to be held accountable. And they need to be held to the same standards as our public schools to make sure there's an equal playing field.
They can't just take the cream of the crop and get rid of anybody they want to.
I mean, we can't continue to do that. I mean, we've seen, you know, individuals across this state who, you know, they may start in a voucher system, in a private system, and then all of a sudden after the third school, after the third Friday that count, then they're back into that public schools. And it's unfortunate that, you know, the private school systems, they will receive those payments, you know, in real time, where the public school system receives those payments the year after. Mm. And so the next year, you know, those public schools aren't even equipped with enough resources to actually take care of those children. And we have to make sure that we stop that gap because too many kids are falling through the cracks.
What about the UW system and funding of that system and also the two-year campuses that seem to be shutting down. Is that a good thing? Is that a bad thing? What would you do as governor?
Well, anytime we're seeing any level, you know, our, particularly when it comes down to our tech colleges and university systems, 4 or 2 years, seeing any of these systems close, we got to take a hard look in the mirror and seeing what are we doing to make sure that our young people have a better pipeline to actually enter these systems. And so, you know, and I'm one of those students where it took me a while to graduate. I just actually went back to school and graduated this past December 2024, something that I promised my mother.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you for that. And so I am a product of the UW system. And I think it's extremely important that folks realize that, yes, we've seen a record increase in the UW systems within this past budget. But if you look at the past decade, they have been hammered. And they have not had enough money to actually make sure that they can provide the level of education for particularly in-state students. And we've also seen the rate of increase when it comes down to tuition. And so we have to provide relief, particularly for Wisconsin families, making sure they have a much better pipeline to go into our UW systems. But I would be the first to say, I know college isn't for everyone. And if there are ways that we can help them on their road to prosperity when it comes down to being an entrepreneur or entering a trade, that's something where we should focus on. But we used to have a world-class UW system, and that has fallen off. And quite frankly, we've seen that under the tutelage and guidance of Scott Walker. And we have to make sure that we repair the damage that has been done in the past decade and a half.
And it used to be totally affordable, and now it takes a bite out of people.
I mean, it's no longer affordable. But what is affordable right now, right? I mean, you look at childcare, it is cheaper to go to UW system than it is to send our children even to an early childhood education center. And so there's a lot that we have to take look at.
Talk a little bit more about childcare. What would you do on that?
Well, we have to make sure that it is accessible and quite frankly, affordable. You know, my youngest daughter is 6 years old, and, you know, 2 years ago, we were able to finally get her into school, and we had the opportunity to stop paying for child care. But at that time, we were spending more on child care than we were on my mortgage. Right. And that's asinine. Right. That's a head scratcher for many of us. And so we need the ability to provide a level. I would love to see universal child care here in the state of Wisconsin. I truly believe that, you know, early childhood education provides a greater foundation of learning for every student in the state of Wisconsin, especially when they enter the public school systems. And when you have the opportunity to help those young people out, you know, birth to three programs or through early childhood education, we're setting them up for success even more. And we can actually follow them a little bit. And so how do we make sure that our child care centers, K-12 systems, as well as our UW systems are all interconnected to make sure that we're creating that pipeline our children deserve?
Well, you're singing to the choir here because my wife was a Head Start nurse for a long time.
So. Oh, man.
Let's talk about a couple other statewide issues. Gerrymandering was an issue that I've been involved in a long time. What's the answer to that?
Independent redistricting council. You know, that's something that you know, I've always been in favor with, and we pushed for during my time in the state assembly. And folks should be picking their representatives. Representatives should never be picking their voters. And I think one thing that we can take a hard look at, particularly in the state of Wisconsin, that we know has been used by the Republican Party for a very long time, is prison gerrymandering.
Talk about that.
Well, you know, prison gerrymandering is when they utilize the prison to be able to count the individuals within that facility towards that particular district that the prison is within. But when you think about the amount of resources that come to our state from the federal government, those individuals, when they're released, are not staying in that particular community. They're going to go back to wherever they originated from. And a lot of the times, many times that comes back, they may come back to Milwaukee County or the 53206 zip code, one of the highest incarcerated zip codes in the entire country, a zip code that I was born and raised in. And so, you know, eliminating that will actually create an even playing field when it comes down to the resources, but just making sure that, you know, there is one person, one vote. And so this doesn't allow for folks to dilute the amount of votes that they have within their particular community. But again, it allows the resources to be allocated and directed to the communities that absolutely need
them. Yeah. So if you're a citizen in Milwaukee, you're convicted of a crime, you're sent to Waupun, you're counted as living in Waupun for 10 years.
Yes.
Even though you're coming back to Milwaukee in a year and a half.
Correct. Correct.
And so Waupun gets more resources than Milwaukee, and that's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, and it's not to say that, you know, these communities don't need those resources. And I look at, you know, I know folks look at Milwaukee as like, oh, this is the big city, the big county, you know, and people like to, you know, he calls the economic engine of the state. But we do this in partnership. We don't do this in a silo. We don't do this alone, you know, in our own, you know, comfort zone. We have to work with communities all across this state if we want to fulfill our state's motto, and let's move forward.
Another issue is money and politics. You're in the business of raising money now. It must be kind of a headache. But it's crazy the way the Walker administration ruined our campaign finance law. Yes. To let super rich people and corporations spend unlimited amounts of money, yeah, to tell you who to vote for and who not to vote for. What's the remedy for that?
Well, first and foremost, you got to get rid of Citizens United. You know, my first start in politics was working for a name that many of us haven't heard in a long time. And I used to be a organizer for United States Senator Russ Feingold, who worked across the aisle with John McCain to put in limits, to basically say we need to take money out of politics. And if we're going to spend money, you need to know exactly who's spending this money. And right now, this is the wild, wild west. You know, you give to candidates and you know who they are, but you have all these independent expenditures and PACs where people can just hide money and give money to folks that they want to give money to. And what's unfortunate is that it is money now controlling our politics versus the people who are actually voting for these individuals. And so I want to see money out of politics, but we also can't be behind the eight ball as well. And so when you see, you know, we have to play the cards that is in our hands that we are being dealt. And so, you know, we shouldn't be behind the eight ball. We see that Republicans are willing to do what they need to do in order to win these races. And I think that as Democrats, we have to take advantage of the game that they're playing in order for us to win.
Let's move to an uncomfortable subject for me because I hate raising his name, Donald Trump.
Oh, man.
Let's talk about Trump for a second. In your opening video on your website, and when you announced, you mentioned the Trump and his chaos and his cruelty.
Yeah.
What's your take on what he's doing to our country?
He's destroying it. You know, Donald Trump and literally this army of Republicans who are abdicating their responsibilities to him is absolutely destroying this economy. They're destroying public institutions that so many people have relied on. But the scariest part is how they're destroying trust in government. You know, we are there to help society. We put in laws and we want to make sure that we can prosper as a community and as a country. And unfortunately, it seems as if he only cares about his bottom line and making sure that he can push his agenda through.
His bottom line's doing well, too.
Too well. I mean, and for me, it's just like, how is this not a problem?
Right.
You know, and it's not just the fact that he's put his own cronies up there to be able to protect himself, but you have people who are elected to be the checks and balance on whoever's in the executive's office who have literally said he has the right to do whatever he wants to do. And he's put people in on the Supreme Court who has also given him full immunity to do a lot of the things that he is doing. And so we should all be concerned as far as what we're seeing happening with this particular administration. And one of the reasons why I'm running for governor is because governors are the ones on the front lines who are going to be stopping a lot of these bad policies that are going to be inflicted on communities right here in the state of Wisconsin. And so we all have to wake up. We all have to pay attention. And so whether you're a Democrat, Republican, or independent, or a person who don't give a care about politics, we have to make sure that this government is here for the long term to protect the most vulnerable people and make sure that we have the safety that we need to have.
Yeah, if they don't care about politics, politics cares about them. They'll be on the receiving end, too.
Hey, you're right about that.
You know, if you're governor and, you know, Trump has his ICE patrol people all over Wisconsin cooperating or working with some counties and county sheriffs here in the state, what's your response to that? How do you handle what ICE is doing?
You fight back. You know, the fact that we are bringing in, you know, ICE or pseudo-military National Guards to occupy communities across this entire country is to let you know that freedom is on the brink. You know, and the fact that I was in Washington, D.C. not too long ago, and I'm watching, you know, young men and women walking around in their fatigues. They weren't trained to be officers. They weren't trained to deal with the public. They were trained to protect this country from violence. They were trained to protect, you know, to be in war, right? And now we're saying that these individuals, because our police departments clearly, that's what he's saying, doesn't have the knowledge or the skill set to do what needs to be done. And so I will always fight back against any level of tyranny or anything that Donald Trump feels that he, you know, because if Donald Trump really cared about these communities and wanted to make them safer, how come he hasn't called a meeting? How come he hasn't brought us to the table? You, no one can respect anybody who comes into your house and tells you how dirty it is and how you need to clean it up. And they don't know anything about you. They don't know what issues or what, you know, what challenges you are facing. And so we need to have people who are in office, who understands the struggle, who's willing to listen to communities on the ground and really help build solutions from the ground up and not just use, you know, the military or many of these issues to divide and distract from the real things that are challenging our communities.
You mentioned the National Guard. If you're governor, you'll be in charge of the Wisconsin National Guard. What would you do if Trump says, I don't care what Governor Crowley says, I'm going to take the Wisconsin National Guard either to patrol Wisconsin or send them to Portland, Oregon, for God's sakes.
Well, I would want the entire nation to actually perk up their ears and pay attention to the fact that state rights no longer then exist, right? And so we as, you know, if I am the next governor, you know, we have to band together. And it doesn't matter, you know, what political party you're on, you're within or who you support. This is really about protecting our democracy. And so we have to make sure that we're on the front lines and making sure this level of tyranny doesn't continue to trickle down and affect what we're doing in this state and doesn't affect many cities, towns, villages and counties all across this state and across this country. And so, again, we would fight like hell to make sure that Donald Trump does not get his way.
A political campaign kind of question. In the Trump era, how do you win in Wisconsin? Do you get out the base, focus on the base more, or do you focus on independents and some vanishing, sensible, moderate Republicans?
Well, I think it's very clear that there are folks here in the state of Wisconsin, across this country, one who has a little bit of buyer's remorse, right? Seeing what is happening on many of the dairy farms here locally and seeing how ICE has come in and literally ripped families apart, how it's affecting our public school systems and the federal dollars that are coming down and healthcare, and wondering if there's going to be clinics opening in central Wisconsin and southeastern Wisconsin and western Wisconsin. And so there's a lot that we have to focus on. And so answer the question again, because I want to make sure I'm hitting it right.
Just, this whole question that national Democratic pundits are throwing around, do you go for the base or do you try to broaden the tent?
Well, one, Democrats are a big tent anyway. I mean, let's just talk about it. But I think it's about focusing on the issues that matter most, those kitchen table issues, right? If you look at what is happening with this national administration, they throw out everything that they can to distract us from the issues that really matter to folks.
Every day it's a new thing.
You know, how inflation isn't real right now, or it's higher under Joe Biden than it is under Trump. It's still high. It doesn't matter what it is. The mortgages are high, but he doesn't want to talk about that. So what does? He decides that he's going to tear down one half of the White House and build something new to cause a distraction, right? We see this happening every single day. And we can talk about the Epstein files and how they were deflecting on that. Now they're going to put it out. But, oh, by the way, let's go ahead and start to investigate Democratic elected officials who may have been tied. And so we have to focus on those real issues. And that's what people care about. And so being in Milwaukee, I am uniquely positioned to bring out more Democratic votes than any other person in this race. But I know that we can't leave any stones unturned. As Democrats, when you think about those lost voices, that's young people, mm-hmm. right? Those are independents. And they have Democrat values. We just haven't figured out how to energize the base, how to bring a cohesive message, because we're all frustrated, not just with who's in the White House and who's occupying that space, but also with many of our national Democrats. And we've seen that just recently with the shutdown deal and not really getting anything out of it, and knowing that the healthcare premiums are going to be rising for so many Americans across our country. And so we have to put a real agenda. It's not just about fighting back. We also got to give something for people to fight for. And that's what we're going to do in this campaign.
Is there anything you want to say or any question I didn't ask that you want to answer?
Well, I want folks to know that I am running to be the governor of all of us. And, you know, I'm the only candidate in this race who not only have served in the legislature, but also have experienced balancing billion-dollar budgets. We've had to tackle the issues that mattered most. And we've been able to deliver for our community, working under a Trump administration, working under a Republican-controlled legislature. But when it comes down to building the coalition, we can build the necessary coalition not only to win the governor's race, but to make sure that we flip the state Senate, flip the state assembly, and make sure that we're putting in policies that's going to allow the rising tide to lift all boats. And so you can always visit my website, CrowleyForWI.com. You can learn more about me. You can sign up. You can volunteer. You can contribute. But I want folks to know that I'm running for this race for you. It's not about me. It's about you. It's about our Wisconsin. It's about our future. And it's about our children.
Well, thanks so much for being my guest on the Wisconsin Forward podcast. It's great to be with you again.
Thank you. Likewise. And thank you for the work that you do consistently.
Oh, you're quite welcome. Well, that's going to have to be it for this episode of the Wisconsin Forward podcast on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Matt Rothschild. I want to thank you for listening. I also want to thank my engineer and producer, Dom Lee, who's always great to work with. And I want to thank Sage Weil of Civic Media for giving me this platform. I'll be back in just a day or two with another Democratic candidate for governor, so stay tuned for that.